Welcome to a Juno Afternoon for this Wednesday, December 14th, 2022. I'm your host, Katie Bosler. On today's show, Mercedes Munoz will tell us about a pop-up ceramic sale of her new release happening this Sunday at Amalga Distillery. The executive director will give us the latest on Riverview, Juno's newest assisted living facility. Jane Strait with United Way will join us from Anchorage with information on how navigators can help uninsured Alaskans find health care insurance. And Lieutenant Craig Campbell with the Juneau Police Department will be in with reminders on how to stay safe this holiday season and the upcoming Shop with a Cop. Those conversations, savory moment, sounds wild, music, and more coming up today on a Juneau Afternoon.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
KTOO is honored to broadcast on Tlingit Anee. Our studios sit on fill that was once tideland and is the home of the Akwan Tlinidi, or Dog Salmon people. We respect the Tlingit people for their care of this land and these waterways for thousands of years. From stories to the use of language, you'll hear a rising tide of Tlingit voices on KTOO. Gunashjish for your patience as we learn.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk are ye tin. Jin katka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha anikakh gunashjish.
Welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. I'm today's host, Katie Bosler. The holidays is the perfect time to support local artists and craftspeople. And a great example of one of those people is ceramicist and illustrator Mercedes Munoz, who joins us from her home on Lena Loop through the magic of Zoom. Great to have you here, Mercedes.
Hi, Katie. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here talking with you.
I'm excited to talk to you. I'm so excited about your work. I just love it. I gave it away about a year or so ago as a wedding present, as a matter of fact.
Oh, lovely. Well, I've been working on a big body of work that I'm really excited to share with the community.
Yes, you have a pop-up shop coming up right this Sunday at Amalga Distillery. Now, I get the idea you kind of like the element of surprise here, because what I notice on your website is everything sold out, but this is the release of your new collection on Sunday. Is that correct?
Yes. So the last show that I had on my website did sell out pretty quickly. And since then, for the majority of this fall, I have been working on this one collection. And I have over 270 pieces that I'm going to be bringing to Amalga this Sunday. A variety of things, ornaments, bowls, platters, mugs, all sorts of functional porcelain forms. And this will be the first show I've had now in a couple months since that last one. And it will also be the last of the year. So this is my body of work that I have right now to share. And I'm so excited to share it with everyone.
That's incredible. 270 pieces. So are you bringing a truck? I mean, I guess you might have this down to a system now. How many years have you been doing this now?
Oh gosh, I have been doing pottery for coming on 13 years, which is kind of crazy to think about. But I have been exhibiting in Juneau since I moved back from college. I got my my BFA in ceramics back in 2014. So since then, I've been showing here and there, but it's really ramped up in the last 2 years, 2.5 years, I'd say, right around the time when COVID hit, I launched my website for the first time, got on social media and started being more consistent on there. And things kind of just blew up from there and have gotten busier and more exciting. And to answer your question, yes, we're probably going to have to take, at least we have a truck and a car, and who knows if we need more. I'm not sure yet, but I'll be laying everything out in the next couple days and we'll see how many cars we need to take there.
Wow. in stages, I imagine. Well, each one of your lines, if you will, is different. And the one commonality that I've noticed just from what I've seen on the website and what I have myself is a drawing or a painting with a certain theme, like dog faces or rainbows. Mm-hmm. Is that what's going to be happening with this next collection?
No, but for a really special reason. I only have like a in-person local show at most twice a year. And when I'm doing that, since I'm showing everything in person and I'm not putting, you know, hundreds of pieces individual on my website, I feel like I really have the freedom to just play and create different pieces. So the fun part about that is that almost everything is different. Like I have, you know, at most 5 pieces that are of the same design, but for the most part, there's 1, 2, 3 of a kind. I mean, everyone's a one of a kind because they're all done original drawings, but there's such a huge variety in these in-person shows, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah. Can you give us any hints about some of the designs that'll be on these new pieces? I noticed some of the photos you sent over to the station here, some beautiful like long platters with flowers and
yes,
leaves.
So definitely in this dark time of year, I have been kind of not referencing actual images or plants in front of me, but, you know, just from my mind, I've been really playing with floral patterns and creating a lot of flowers that don't exist, but just kind of create a fun pattern that I enjoy. And let's see, I have been doing lots of slugs. That's something that I started earlier this year that's really fun for me. Some dog and bear imagery and lots of waves, mountains. Yeah, to give a little bit. And then I always like kind of my, I'd say like my signature, one of my signature styles is this like black and white etching with gold detail. Mm. It's like a really tight interwoven pattern. And I have done a lot of work for this upcoming show with that pattern as well.
Oh, I'm excited. Now you're a mom of young child or children.
Yes, I have 2 children.
Oh my God. How old are they?
I have a 2.5-year-old and an almost 6-year-old.
Okay, I'm sure you've gotten this question before, especially from young parents. How do you focus on your work with kids that age? Underfoot.
Well, when I first started doing this more seriously, it was nap times and evenings, which was very challenging. But I love what I do so much that I have to make time for both, you know. Mm-hmm. I quickly learned that they can't be done simultaneously. So I have carved out time now where my daughter is in kindergarten and my son is doing mornings in daycare with some lovely people who he's just thriving with. And so I have these couple hours in the morning. Well, I have the whole morning every day, Monday through Friday, where I'm working. So it's okay. Pretty much I hit the ground running right when I get there. And then, you know, when I get closer to a show, there's definitely the weekends and occasional evenings too. But that's the time that I have allotted mm-hmm. daily. And then on top of that, I just have so much support from my family, from my husband, from my parents. At my last show, my entire family was there helping. And so I just couldn't do it without all of their support.
Well, it sounds like you have a good compartmentalized strategic situation and plus support set up there. Speaking of family, you are a 5th-generation Alaskan. You're the granddaughter of the late and legendary artist Reman Yose. Does your heritage influence your creations?
I think that the values that Ree had as an artist, she bestowed upon me. I looked up to her so much and spent so much time with creating with her. And the one like piece of advice she always gave me was to just follow what makes me happy. So I really come back to that, whether it's, you know, I'm making a form or a design or any sort of business or art decision. It's like, who am I doing this for? Is this really what is bringing me joy? And following that lead from her has, I think, really brought me to where I am right now.
I love that. And also your motto or tagline, if you will, on your website is function plus art. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, well, I am really inspired by that relationship between function and art and how pottery plays into that. I think that, I mean, I personally love all my 2D art that I collect too, but I also love tangible art that I can interact with. You know, I feel like when you have a cup of coffee in the morning, that's my mugs are one of my favorite forms to use and make and collect. So when I'm having my morning cup of coffee from a handmade mug, I feel like I'm forced to be present even more. I'm forced to like taste the drink more, to, you know, notice the cup, how it feels in my hand. And I think that pottery just really forces a pull to be present that I think I know I certainly appreciate. And I think, you know, it's wonderful. And so then I have always been into drawing and painting, and that's how that piece has played into my love of pottery. And I think it just like enhances that experience, having a mug adorned with original illustrations.
Oh man, I have, you know, my mug cabinet is full, but you've sold me. What am I going to do? So if we want to see this pop-up show and see what you have to offer with this new release, it starts at 11 o'clock sharp at Amalga Distillery on Sunday?
Yes. So this Sunday, the doors will open at 11 a.m. And that's Amalga Distillery, 134 North Franklin downtown. If you don't already, you should follow me on Instagram, because about 30 minutes before the show goes live, I'm going to do a Instagram live walkthrough. And so that everybody, I mean, there's just, like I told you before, there's so many pieces. It's been impossible for me to show everything. So I figure everything here, when it's set up right where it's going to be, I can do the Instagram live and walk everyone through it. So then when the doors open, they can just go straight to the piece they want.
Okay. Now, this is the second or third year in a row you've done this at Amalga. Is that correct?
I think the first time I showed there was back in 2018. They are so incredibly supportive to the arts community. So thankful to be invited anytime, to be invited to work with them. They're just, I can't like praise them enough. They do so much for our community, and I'm just so thankful for them.
Oh yeah. And I know from my days at UAS that Brandon is a very talented ceramicist himself. So
he is.
The owner of Amalga, for those of you who don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually first met Brandon. We both worked at the Canvas Community Art Studio. And right when I moved back from college, he heard that I was a potter, and he asked me to come into the Canvas and do some contract teaching classes. So that's how we met too, was through pottery, which is pretty cool.
Okay. Well, Mercedes Munoz, thank you so much for telling us about your pop-up show this Sunday, 11 a.m. at Amalga Distillery. I imagine people might be watching that Instagram walk through it while they're waiting in line outside somehow.
I hope so. I think it'll be fun.
Okay. Well, happy holidays to you. And I hope to meet you in person on Sunday if possible.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us today on Juno Afternoon. And we'll follow you on Instagram, Mercedes Munoz. Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Coming up, folks from a local senior living community set to open soon will be here with an update. But first, here's your savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. What if you had a condiment that delivered rich seafood flavor, along with a little smoke? You could stir a pale, velvety spoonful into pasta sauce for an umami surprise. You could drizzle it over roasted asparagus or melt some into a pot of vegetable soup to create a five-star broth. What if this condiment were as easy to make as unwrapping two sticks of butter and opening a can of smoked salmon? Yep, I'm talking about compound butter. That's butter blended with some kind of potent flavoring. In this case, smoked salmon. Compound butters are most often made with herbs or aromatic spices. But in Alaska, we do things a little differently. Place a 6-ounce can of smoked salmon in a food processor. Add butter, lemon zest and juice, garlic cloves, black pepper, and salt. Process until smooth, then freeze in a log and slice off coins as needed. You can also keep a jar in the fridge. Here's an easy dinner idea. Melt 2 thick, creamy coins of smoked salmon butter in the bottom of a hot skillet and make an omelet. The minuscule bits of salmon will caramelize, creating a salty, savory, smoky brown crust that is delicious with mild, nutty-tasting cheeses like Jarlsberg or Fontina. Serve on top of curly endive or other lacy greens dressed lightly with a tangy vinaigrette, and you've got dinner. You can find the full recipe for smoked salmon butter at savorymoment.org. I'm Beth Shortroads. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon. I'm your host today, Katie Bosler. For more than 20 years, people age 60 and over have made the fastest growing segment of the Juno population, made up that population. The Juno Economic Development Council estimates that by 2025, a quarter of the capital city population will be seniors. Many of those people will need a supportive community to call home. And with me in the studio is the executive director and Community Relations Director for the soon-to-open Riverside Senior Community. Welcome Daniel Powell and Carrie Pusich.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming in.
And just to reiterate, we're with Riverview Senior Living.
Riverview.
It's over by Riverside.
Yes. You can view that river from the backside of the building, right?
There you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of good views.
Yeah. So judging from a PAC Centennial Hall presentation on Riverview that my husband and I attended earlier this year, mm-hmm. demand is really high for this kind of thing, or interest at least.
Absolutely.
So tell me, are the reservations, if you will, filling up, and when do you... is ETA for opening?
Right. So we are pretty much on target with being able to have residents start moving in the end of March, beginning of April. We have what we like to say is 87 doorknobs. 58 of those doorknobs are in the assisted living side and 29 in the memory care. And of the assisted living, we are already 60% full. So if everything goes according to plan, we're looking pretty good, and hopefully those people who have given deposits and signed up, it will still fit in their timeline come April.
Wow, that's incredible. So Riverview is the type of senior living community that's common in the lower 48, but to my knowledge, mm-hmm. it's never been built here in Juneau. So why did your management company, I think it's North Star Senior Living, why did they decide to build here now?
You know, I think a lot of good people got involved to get Torrey Pines and North Star to invest. But also, you know, the lower 48 has a model that is somewhat different from Juneau, more of a social model. Pioneer Home is somewhat different from our model. We're a private pay model. We also believe in, you know, aging and care, but we still partner with community members. But I guess, you know, to answer your question, is there was just such a need for it here in Juneau. That they, you know, since we've started, we've based it off that need, and we've, you know, changed as the project has continued. But it just comes down to the need. I mean, you look at the numbers, and there's upwards of 30% of people that need to age in place in Juneau. They want to age in their home. They want to age in their community. So that was the draw for investment.
Yeah. Now, speaking of investment, it is an investment on the part of the residents or inhabitants, if you will. Can people rely on Medicaid or insurance, or is this something that you really need to have saved up for if you're a senior to afford?
Yeah, we have a certain number of beds dedicated to Medicaid. However, we are a private pay. It needs to be a sustainable project. And when we meet with the owners and community members, we want it to be a project that is not only here for 10 years, but 20 years, 30 years down the line. We want people to be able to age in place, longevity. We do spend downs case-by-case basis. You know, that's all individually based.
How would that work? How would a spend down work?
You know, it's really hard to do without, like, an example. But if someone came to us and let's say they sold their home, for example, and then they exhausted their funds with us, then we would work with them to do a spend down. Again, that's all case-by-case basis, and it'd have to make sense financially for both parties.
Okay.
Yeah, and to add to that, we do accept long-term care insurance, and we accept veterans benefits. So most of my interaction has been with seniors who are planning, and most of them seem to be aware. But if you're not and you have questions about Riverview and the finances and how can I afford to live there, we want people to reach out to us, call us, look us up on the web and contact us that way. We get a lot of web inquiries, which has been fabulous.
And how do people contact you?
So they can do our web, which is riverviewseniorliving.com. And they can email us through that site. They can call us, 907-723-2282, and you can text me at that number as well. And we do have a sales office open. It's right across the street from where Riverview is being built, its location. So, like, every day I sit in my office and I look at Riverview and I watch the progress.
And where exactly is that office, Carrie?
That would be good to know. It's over on Clinton Drive, which is over in the Vintage Park business area. So right along the river. Yep.
Yeah, 3032 Vintage Boulevard, Suite 500.
Okay, so you are open for business and inquiries either in person or by phone or through the web. And as you were saying, though, you're getting pretty full. Is that right?
We are. I mean, technically right now we are 60% full. People have selected. That means they have put down a deposit and selected an apartment.
Okay. And maybe can you just kind of describe like a typical day at Riverview if you're an assisted living person living there or couple or family?
Sure. Yeah. So in assisted living, we have studio apartments and one bedroom apartments. They all have a kitchenette. We have a full dining room, so you can get three meals a day. We have a bistro where you can get snacks, a gathering spot. We can have happy hours. We can have ice cream socials. We had communication with a local gal that we plan to hire. It's a relationship we're starting for an activities director. And
Oh, that's very important.
Very important. And she is fun and crafty and will be a very great addition to Riverview. So we will have upwards of 8 to 12 activities a day. We have transportation, so those people will have outings. And everything will be really based on what is the request of the residents? What are their interests? We're not going to, you know, we're going to do what they want to do. So.
Yeah, we'll have a model going into it. But then as we select our resident council and we meet with them monthly, we want to know where do we put the money, where do we put the resources, And how do we make it, you know, stretch a dollar, but also make it more valuable for them? Do they want to go to the racket club for membership? Do they want to do quilting? Is there a big yoga influence? Okay, well, let's put more emphasis on that. And I think you just develop that as you go. We have, you know, a standard model that will have, you know, we have two separate models that we go off. We have one for the assisted living and one that's for the memory care. They're two totally different models because they need to be highly focused because of the cognition of the resident. But yeah, we want to lead with, you know, our residents in mind and our community in mind. We want to build that with them.
And how about pets and cars and things that people are used to having in their homes or with their homes?
Yeah, no, we're pet friendly. We also have also put in four chargers for electric cars. You know, that's something we adjusted when we came to Juneau, you know, going back to the investment group and saying, hey, this is a really big thing here. People drive, there's a lot of electric cars. Okay, well then let's put in some electric chargers so that, you know, these people can charge their vehicles at their home. We can also do a case-by-case basis depending on the car. We do have limited parking space, but we're going to try to meet the needs of our residents with cars.
Okay, great. Well, getting back to brass tacks, there is a well-known shortage of care workers nationally, and I imagine in Alaska as well. Tell me about staffing. How will you staff Riverview?
So based off of Alaska's guidelines, it's the need of your residents and your community. So it's all based off of acuity and level of care, level needed. Our model for the state, we will have CNAs and we will have nurses on staff, but not everybody has to be licensed through the state. So we have what are called caregivers or universal workers, which kind of helps us because we can approach it from a training, you know, and bringing people in-house, but also getting them trained up, coached up to be caregivers, to work in activities, to do these different things. I know it's a big concern with people that I talk to, you know, all the time here in Juneau. They say, how's the staffing going? What's going on with it? And we've done pretty good. We really have. I tell, you know, we have a meeting once a week with the ownership group and the management group, and I think we've done well because people, you know, want to be a part of something new, but we're also opening the pool to outside the state. Of course, we're looking locally first because that's what we want to do. We want to give the opportunities to those people locally. However, we are looking elsewhere because, hey, if we have to relocate people and bring more good people to Juneau, that's what we'll do too. But I've been really pleased with the quality of people we've gotten, but also the daily inquiries we get for caregivers and housekeepers.
Great. Okay. Well, it sounds like things are looking on the up and up for Riverview, new assisted living and senior community coming up right in March, just
absolutely.
A few months away.
Yeah. We're excited. And yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some challenges along the way, but you know, right now we're doing good. We're on track, and that's the important thing. I'm sure there will be some hiccups and hurdles along the way, but we'll just work together and work with the community of Juneau to get through those.
Well, Daniel Powell, Chief Executive Officer, and Community Relations Director Carrie Pusich, thank you so much for joining us today on Juneau Afternoon. And just repeat one more time how people can contact you, Carrie, if they're interested in looking into living at Riverview.
Yeah, we have a website, riverviewseniorliving.com. They can call 907-723-2282. They can text at that number, and then they can come by and see us. Our office is right across the street from Riverview. It's 3032 Clinton Drive, Suite 500.
Well, happy holidays to you both, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Up Next, Jane Strait with United Way will join us from Anchorage with information on how navigators can help uninsured Alaskans find health care insurance. But first, coming right up, Sounds Wild.
Sounds Wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. On a blue sky day in late May 2022, a small plane is flying over the open, green, treeless expanse of Nelson Island in southwest Alaska near Bethel. Wildlife biologists are surveying the island's muskox population, and they want to count every single animal. For the aerial survey, biologists divide the island into transects and fly in a grid-like pattern, spotting muskox groups and taking pictures. They count the total number of muskox, identify bulls and cows, and determine the number of yearling calves that survived their first winter, the recruitment to the herd. Surveys like this have been done every year since 1968, when 31 muskox were first introduced to the island. They thrived, and the population grew quickly, about 20% a year through the 1970s, and in a dozen years, the original 31 had grown to a population of 265 animals. The first hunting season was opened in 1981. The 2022 survey counted 513 muskox in 78 groups of about 7 animals each. The management objective is to maintain a population between 250 and 450 animals. The information gathered in the survey helps biologists develop a sustainable harvest strategy for the annual spring hunt. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
What if accessing your personal and family immunization records was as easy as checking your phone? The Docket app is a secure option that allows Alaskans to quickly access their immunization records. Need immunization records for school or travel? Docket makes it simple and is available for download from the App Store or Google Play. Learn more at vaccinationrecords.alaska.gov. Paid for by the Alaska Department of Health.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Katie Bosler, your host for today. Some good news. The portion of Alaskans without health insurance has decreased from 20% to just over 11% over the past decade, thanks in large part to the Affordable Care Act and nonprofits like the United Way helping the under or uninsured sign up for health care plans. Joining us from Anchorage to give us the details on the current open enrollment is Jane Strait. She is the healthcare navigator and director of income and health with United Way. Welcome, Jane.
Hello.
I'm glad to hear your voice. How is it up there?
It's snowing again.
It's been coming down. Is it another like huge storm, like the third one in a row, something like that?
Yeah, 7 to 10, I guess. I'm not sure. Inches, maybe.
Oh, my gosh. Well, again, everybody, with me is Jane Strait. She is the healthcare navigator and director of income and health with United Way. And Jane, health insurance can be confusing, especially for those signing up for the first time. You're one of many trained navigators who provide free guidance to help Alaskans find the plan that best fits their needs. What do you tell people seeking such guidance?
You know, we're trying to find people who don't have insurance coverage. So especially looking for those folks who you don't have insurance offered through your job. And the main thing we want people to know is most people have affordable options. And so the Affordable Care Act insurance marketplace is something for you to look into if you don't have another option. And we just find that maybe people think it might not be affordable, so they don't check it out. And most of the time are pleasantly surprised. You know, that they can find something affordable, and we can help with that.
Yeah, so the Affordable Care Act health insurance marketplace is now open. It's open yeah. enrollment through January 15th. Can you remind us, for those who are unfamiliar, what is open enrollment and how do people qualify for these plans?
Sure. So open enrollment is that once a year period from November 1st and this year until January 15th. That lets you sign up for and purchase insurance in the healthcare.gov marketplace if you don't have affordable insurance through an employer. And so you don't have to already have coverage. If you just have never signed up before, that's what open enrollment means. You can come on in and sign up. The rest of the year, you could sign up if you lost your coverage. So you're going along with the job, you lose your job, you lose your coverage, you could have a special enrollment. You could sign up then. But during open enrollment, you know, you don't have to have been previously covered. So it's intended to provide insurance to those folks who aren't Medicare, which is over 65, or aren't Medicaid, or don't have insurance through a job, they don't have another option. The Affordable Care Act Marketplace is an option for you. And so anyone can purchase insurance there. The thing we're trying to help you figure out if you qualify for, the thing that makes the Affordable Care Act insurance affordable is a program of discounts on the premiums to purchase the insurance. And it comes in the form of tax credits. And so that's the big thing people are trying to figure out is, do I qualify for those tax credits to help me buy it? How big of a tax credit do I qualify for?
Okay. So it sounds like you might need a navigator. It sounds like it could get a little complicated. And that's where you come in.
That's where we come in. We help you figure out how to do all the income parts correctly because it is a tax credit. So that means the folks behind it are the IRS. We always want to do things correctly. And then help you study the insurance plans that are in there and figure out what's the best one for your situation.
Now, are there navigators here in Juneau or do people need to call up to the Anchorage office?
They've got several options. There's a big category called assisters, and navigators are one kind of assister, and there are others. There are other application counselors. There are definitely folks in Juneau who help people enroll in person. I would check with Search through any of their locations. Then you can also do stuff online or over the phone with us. You know, you find us by calling 211.
Okay.
And then just saying, I want a navigator to help me with health insurance.
Oh, that's easy. So you just pick up the phone, dial 211, and you can get a navigator to help you get health insurance.
Yep.
That's
and we
amazing.
Use a government website, healthcare.gov. And of course, you can go to healthcare.gov, make sure you're at the right site, make sure it's .gov. And you can look at information there. It's designed to be consumer friendly. Of course, you can sign yourself up. If you get stuck, you can call. You can call us. Healthcare.gov has a call center 24/7. You can call them. We just find that a lot of folks like having local help. And it's free. We're funded by a government grant. We're supposed to be here to help people understand health insurance. We're part of the Affordable Care Act. So lots of options.
Yeah. Can navigators also help people with, say, Medicaid or Denali KidCare applications?
Yes. Yes. And Medicaid and Denali KidCare are kind of, woven right in with the marketplace with the Affordable Care Act. What we did in Alaska, like say for adults, when we expanded Medicaid, is we decided to make the healthcare.gov marketplace a place that could determine your eligibility. So it's just a seamless process. It's kind of like a fork in the road. You start putting all your stuff in, you put in your income information, and then it's going to figure out, you're eligible for Medicaid. Okay, we'll electronically send you to the state of Alaska, wait for your card. Here's your tax credit. Let's go shop for insurance. So it's all integrated. We can help people with that process. We can also help people with paper applications if they need to do those for Medicaid. And of course, Medicaid doesn't have an open enrollment period, people should realize. Mm-hmm. Medicaid's just about being income eligible. So if you think you're eligible for Medicaid, you can enroll at any time.
Okay. And then getting back to open enrollment now, for Affordable Care Act Health Insurance Marketplace. That started November 1st, goes through January 15th. Have you had many people come through already?
We've had a lot of people come through, and people should know there's kind of like a deadline within a deadline. So it's 2023 insurance that we're signing up for. If you want that insurance to start January 1, December 15th is the deadline. You need to get signed up by the end of the day tomorrow. If it's not too late, just knowing that if you sign up from December 16th till the end of open enrollment, that coverage is going to start February 1.
Okay. So if you want coverage.
So tomorrow's the deadline if you want January 1 coverage.
Okay. So if you want coverage as of January 1st, you got to dial 211 and get with a navigator by tomorrow. But if you're okay with starting February 1st, you have until January 15th.
Yep.
Okay.
That's right.
Great. Well, Jane Strait with United Way Anchorage, is there anything else you want to tell us about this great service of United Way to help people navigate the Affordable Care Act health insurance marketplace?
We just want to really encourage people to check this out if they don't have coverage. Another thing we do want to tell people that changed this year, there's new eligibility for family members. If your work insurance covers you and it's affordable and offers coverage for your dependents and that's not affordable, this year for the first time, dependents may be able to do Affordable Care Act insurance. So it could be that you're on your work insurance, put spouse and kids on Affordable Care Act insurance. That's never been possible before. In the past, if you were offered insurance and it would cover them, that was that. So just options, different options. If people haven't looked at it in a long time or haven't looked at it before, it's worth a phone call. And you can do something over the phone with a navigator and say, before I get involved in enrolling, I just want to find out, you know, what kind of tax credit would I be eligible for? What might it cost me to figure out if I'm interested? It doesn't take very long to figure that out.
Well, Jane Strait with United Way Anchorage, thank you so much for joining us today on Juno Afternoon with this really important information. And again, if people want to contact a navigator, I guess the easiest way is to dial 211, but they can also text Get Covered AK.
Yep, they can text Get Covered AK to 898-211.
Okay, or they can also get online, and that is, again, at
healthcare.gov.
All right. Well, happy holidays, Jane, and stay warm and good luck with the latest snowstorm in Anchorage.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye-bye. Our final guest for the hour, Lieutenant Craig Campbell of the Juneau Police Department, is in the wings with a check-in and reminders for the holidays. But first, I want to just give you a reminder that all December, we're celebrating our year-end member drive. The goal is $45,000, and we're about halfway there. Going over the goal would be terrific, because donations all month long will be matched by Newsmatch and the Walton Family Fund. Your membership contribution right now will help fund everything you get from KTOO and will help start 2023 on solid financial footing. If you haven't made a gift yet this December or ever, just go to ktoo.org and click on the donate button. And coming up, before Craig Campbell, just a little music from Ed Littlefield for the holidays.
Traipsing through the slush in extra tufts, 10 years old. We enjoy our Alaska hikes, but it's getting kind of cold. Escape to Grandma's house, warm up with Sigshaldin. Pilot bread, butter, and some jam. Boy, does Grandma love me. Squawks, raven dogs around the Christmas tree. Oh, what joy it is to live in Tlingitani. Eagle squawks, raven talks around the Christmas tree. Oh, what joy it is to live in Tlingitani. A day or two ago, I thought I saw some sun, and soon I realized in Southeast that's just not done. But we're cozy at Grandma's house, taking in the cold beauty of the land I love at this time of year and the love it gives back to me. Eagle squawks, raven talks around the Christmas tree. Oh, what joy it is to live in Tlingitani. Hey, eagle squawks, raven talks around the Christmas tree. Oh, what joy it is to live in Tlingitani. Oh, what joy it is to live in Tlingitani.
Mm-hmm.
fun it is to live in Tlingit Ani. 11 days before Christmas, and we're getting deep in the holiday season of gatherings, events, and hazardous driving and walking conditions. With me to talk about how to stay safe this season and much more is Lieutenant Craig Campbell with the Juneau Police Department. Welcome, Craig.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. So, winter driving and pedestrian safety is on my mind anyway. I know I've got my, little studs that I pull on the bottom of my boots, and if I don't, it could be dangerous.
Yeah, you're going to go slip and fall. It'd be bad. Yeah, I was actually driving not too long ago. It was when it was still kind of icy out, and it was starting to thaw up a little bit. And I ran a couple incidents where it just reminded me, as just wanted to send a reminder to pedestrians specifically. And it really involves around using crosswalks and make sure to cross in where you're supposed to, crossing in well-lit areas, not wearing dark clothing so people can see you. But the other thing, too, is always be thinking about when the roads are slippery and you're about to cross, vehicles are coming towards you, but they're still slowing down. They're not stopped yet. And just walking out on the roadway, because you always have those things where the roadway could be still be very slick. That vehicle could be trying to stop, and it ain't going to stop in time. So my advice for pedestrians specifically is, make that eye contact with the drivers. Make sure they stop before actually entering the roadway. And just make sure it's safe.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And then how about driving?
Yeah, driving's another one that it's important to remember for all those drivers out there. The biggest one is be looking for pedestrians. Don't just drive and you have all the distractions and that go on these days. And don't just wait until you actually see somebody. But actually, when you're driving, be out there looking, scanning the roadways for pedestrians. Try to see them. See them before they see you so you can stop.
Yeah, because not everybody is wearing their reflectors.
That's correct.
Yeah. And it's dark out there.
Yeah, and they're vulnerable roadway users. You get in a crash with somebody that's on a bike, on a pedestrian, they're going to be most likely severely injured because of that, because they're not protected. So we got to give them the right of way.
And we have an adventurous population. People who ride bicycles when it looks really hard to ride a bike. Pretty miserable. They're out there.
Yep, they're there. So be looking for them and give them right away. Make sure they can get home safe.
You're not kidding. Well, also, you're here to warn us about this time of year, online scams and how to protect yourself.
Yeah, I think typically throughout the years, we start seeing an uptick of online scams this time of year. People are shopping. They're doing these things. They got a lot of stuff going on. But just kind of a reminder of the different type of scams that we kind of see here in Juneau specifically, and maybe some ways just to try to protect yourself. We probably saw on the press release in this past month, we sent one out about a housing scam, someone who's advertising rental property for like an apartment to rent and scamming people out of several thousands of dollars. Those things happen. I can't say they happen too often here, but always be on the alert for things that, seem too good to be true, not able to go look at a property before actually renting it, verifying that person has the right to rent a property, those types of basic things. And I'm hoping that we don't see any increase of those, but it can happen. It's something very easy to post on social media, get interest, and require payment before actually moving in. So
sure. And earlier on this program, we had people from Riverview here, an oncoming assisted living facility, Community for Seniors. It's going to open up in March here in Juneau. And that got seniors on my mind, and seniors are often victims of online scams. Is that also a local issue?
Yeah, it is. And seniors can sometimes be very vulnerable because some of them, not all, so I'm not trying to put everyone in a category, but some may have diminished capacity to, one, even use the internet. Sometimes that can be difficult, but just not understanding that these scams are out there, and sometimes they are easy victims for people. And it's always important to, if you have elderly people in your family, that you kind of maybe oversee some of their financial things or just, their decision making, is talk to them about scams and let them know that they're out there, things to be looking out for. Some very common ones you see are for scams for elderly ones. I mean, we've heard them before, but it's, you know, they get a phone call that someone's claiming, hey, so-and-so's in jail, or so-and-so needs to, you know, your grandson, Timmy, needs to fly up to see you, and they want to wire money or send money and things like that.
Yep.
Even some nice investment opportunities,
Happened to my dad with our family, actually. Yeah, it was scary.
And it's sad. And it's even for those people, and whether elderly or not, you know, there's an emotional toll that takes on those people because it can feel embarrassing. You can be worried about criticism. You can have anxiety related to that. And it's good that people to talk to others and say, hey, it happened, but, you know, we can get through this.
Well, on a happier topic, coming right up is the annual Alaska Police Officers Association Shop with a Cop on the 17th, 10 o'clock to 1 p.m. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Shopping with a Cop's been going on. It's we've actually been doing it here for several years. It's put on through the Alaska Police Officers Association. Juneau is just one of several agencies in Juneau that partners with them to have officers pair up with kids that have been nominated for the Shop with a Cop program. And what I wanted to kind of to talk to people here today, just let them know this, hey, Saturday, we're going to be out roughly between 10 a.m. to noon. You're probably going to see an influx of police officers at Fred Meyer shopping with kids. That can sometimes be hectic, but it's a great time. We're also going to be doing a kind of a police parade from the police department to Fred Meyer. You'll see lights, you'll see sirens, and it's really just to kind of make the event memorable and exciting for the kids. So just let everybody know we're going to be out there, and it's for Shop with a Cop.
Okay, and is there a way to sign up if you want to get your child involved?
Yeah, I think they've closed all their nominations now, so they have that going on the past few weeks. They've nominated several families and got a ton of donations from community members, so I think they're all set to go. Now it's just those final touches on getting things wrapped up.
Okay, great. Well, speaking of wrapping up, we're going to have to wrap up here quick, Craig. But real quick, you are recruiting for positions for the police department.
Yeah, recruitment. JPD is down quite a few positions. And so if there's anybody out there who's hearing my voice and knows anybody that needed a job, and specifically if you know someone that might make a good police officers, we are hiring. We need good police officers for our community. We are currently down 12 police officer positions, and we're down 2 dispatchers, 2 call takers, 1 records technician, and 1 community service officer. So if any of those jobs seem exciting to people, or if they'd like to get some more information, just please go to www.joinjpd.com, and the Juneau Police Department is a great place to work.
Well, Lieutenant Craig Campbell, thank you so much for joining us today on Juneau Afternoon and reminding us about holiday safety for when we're walking around or driving, also to be aware of scams this time of year. And the Shop with a Cop is happening on the 17th at 10 o'clock a.m. to 1 p.m. with the Police Officers Association, and that you've got some positions open.
Yep.
All right. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
And that'll do it for Juneau Afternoon, broadcast live from Linkadani on KTOO 104.3 FM, KAUK 91.7, and online at KTOO.org, with a rebroadcast at 7 o'clock tonight. Upcoming programming over the holiday break, I want to let you know about. Juneau Afternoon will be taking a 3-week break after this Friday's episode, which I will be hosting again the day after tomorrow on Friday, filling in for Andy Klein. However, we've got a great lineup of holiday-themed programs on all 3 radio stations, including seasonal storytelling, special Juneau Afternoon segments, locally hosted music shows on KRNN and KXLL, and a holiday mix running all month long on KXLL that's stacked with the best contemporary holiday tunes and humor. So much to listen to on public radio right here in Juneau. You can check out the weekly schedule at kto.org/schedule, KTOO.org/schedule. To listen to interviews, see links to anything we discussed, or be on the show yourself, check out our website at KTOO.org/JuneauAfternoon. Juneau Afternoon is a production of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. We had help today from Boston Christopher and Aaron Tripp. Our opening and closing theme music is by Indian Agent. And support for Juneau Afternoon is, of course, provided by Hanson Gress and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Katie Bosler, and it was my pleasure again being your Juno Afternoon host today. Until next time, thanks for joining the conversation from all of us at KTOO Gunashchish, and have a great Juno evening.